This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
What is the wackiest, weirdest thing you saw on the football field this weekend? And we're focusing on these drought busters. Big time for Detroit, for Cleveland, for Tiger. Along the lines of the Buffalo Bills finally getting to the playoffs for the first time this century. We're talking that big. So take our poll, weigh in, let me know what you think was the weird, the wacky, and the biggest drought buster. And we've still got one game to go. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win on Monday night, they will join the ranks of 3-0 teams. Right now, they are the fourth undefeated, but they're only at 2-0. They have to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night. Now, this game is in Tampa, but maybe that's good for the Steelers, considering all the crazy drama around their locker room right now, and also the fact that in back-to-back games in Pittsburgh, they've given up 45 and 42 points. So maybe it's better to be on the road. Gosh, everything that we've heard from that Steelers brain trust, from those who cover the Steelers. We know Antonio Brown's not super happy with how things are going, though the biggest thing is the losing. Or in the case of the Cleveland game, the not winning. And that he will simmer down and things will be fine if the team starts winning, which is what I said to you last week. But the reports are out there now that the team is interested in trading Le'Veon Bell. And if they get an offer that they believe is worthy, they will trade their running back who continues to hold out. No signs of ending that holdout. There's a lot going on right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I know a win would go a long way to curing what ails them. However, they're going to have to figure out how to slow down one Tampa Bay quarterback, Ryan Fitzmagic, who's got 8 touchdowns in 2 games. Man, think about the NFC South, and we'll talk about the Saints and Panthers this hour here on CBS Sports Radio, but think about the quarterbacks right now in the AFC South. We talked about the 8 touchdowns for Ryan Fitzpatrick, but how about today on the field in Atlanta? Drew Brees, 5 touchdowns, 3 through the air, 2 on the ground. And Matt Ryan, 5 touchdowns. Between those two quarterbacks alone, there were 10 touchdowns. Oh, and then Cam Newton, former NFL MVP. Another 4 touchdowns for him on this Sunday. Crazy. Those 4 QBs are tearing it up right now. And yet the funny part is you still think Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, I don't know what Dirk Cutter's going to do when Jameis Winston comes off suspension after this week. But I don't know how you can take the ball away from Fitzmagic and from a quarterback who's led his team to 3 wins if they would win against the Steelers and move to 3-0. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And we want you to take that poll about the drought buster, the biggest drought buster of the weekend in sports. It's also up on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And I promise we're going to get your phone calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So the Los Angeles Rams are not only winning, they're now at 3-0, but they continue to put up enormous numbers, like the yardage. Ho-hum, another 500 yards of offense, no big thing. But the cool thing to point out about the Rams, the cool thing to notice about the Rams is that it's really, it's the offense that gets all the attention, of course, Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and blah, 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 blah. I could go on and on and on about the guys who are catching passes, but it's also their special teams. It's also the defense, though the defense did potentially lose Marcus Peters on Sunday, and then Aqib Talib was out later in the game. But the Peters one is the one that is concerning because it was labeled maybe an Achilles injury. So we're going to keep our eyes out for that news on Monday as well. But the offense certainly gets a ton of the credit because it's flashy. Why not? And because we're obsessed with our quarterbacks. But this is a full-scale 3-0 start for the Rams.
Snap back, and the punt is blocked! Covered in the end zone! Touchdown, LA! And just like last year against Philadelphia, it's Blake Countess coming away with the football. Now throws right side. Cooper Kupp behind the defense and caught at the 30. Gets through an ankle tackle at the 20. Kupp's going to go. Touchdown, LA. 53 yards. He stepped away from Trevor Williams and housed it.
Tough, hard-earned win today against a great football team. I thought Jared Goff was outstanding. I thought our offensive line and then really Gurley and both Malcolm Brown to be able to finish out the game. Defense ended up having to have some tough stops against what we know is a great offense.
Does he sound like a younger John Gruden, or is that just me? Sean McVay, the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, who's got his team clicking. It's a lot of fun to watch them as well.
I heard a skunk got loose in our tunnel.
So the Rams right now are on the top of the NFC West. They started out with victories against the Raiders, the Cardinals, and the Chargers. We'll get to the Raiders coming up. They're now 0-3 after losing to Miami, but you know in all three of those games, they've had a double-digit lead, or lead in the second half, excuse me. In all three of those games, it actually might be a double-digit lead, but they've had a lead in the second half, and they've not been able to hold it. That's a step that they need to take to learn how to win. New era, new coaching, new everything, right? For the Raiders, pretty soon it's going to be a new city and a new stadium. They've got to learn how to win all over again, even the guys who've been there for the last couple of years and predated John Gruden. So the AFC West, the NFC West, lots of good storylines in those two divisions. Rams are one of the teams that are 3-0, and incidentally, the Chiefs 3-0 on top of the AFC West. So the West may be the best. Maybe. I have to always qualify because it's week three. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. George is listening in L.A. George, welcome to After Hours.
Amy, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, how about those Rams, man? They lose two of their top cornerbacks, and they still don't punt to the fourth quarter, 33, 34, 35. Man, I mean, this offense is clicking. That's even with the interception and a Gurley fumble in the first half. This team, like you said, is doing it in all three phases, special teams, defense, and offense.
Yeah, I like a couple of things that jump out about this game, too. Yes, they had the 521 yards of total offense, but they were 8 of 11 on third down, which is not automatic, but it's pretty darn close. And they had 9 drives only. They got their 500-plus yards on 9 drives because they only punted one time. I like the strides that Jared Goff has made, and I think it's pretty evident how much more dangerous he is when he has people he can throw to.
Yeah, you know what else I like? They don't pay much attention to Goff or give him much credit in the national media.
Who's they? Not you, but
the other people. But anyway, I think this Rams team is one of the most balanced teams I've seen in a long time in the NFL. And I think Kansas City is very good, too. So I can't wait till they play each other. Thanks.
All right, George. Thanks so much for hanging on in L.A. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know when they will play each other. Let's see. Oh, Chiefs. There we go. On November 19th, it's a Monday night game. I don't know that the two teams will still be undefeated, but that would be a good one. If they are, or maybe they have one or two losses, can you imagine the hype? Oh, potentially a Super Bowl preview. I mean, it would be November after all, so it's a good time to start predicting your Super Bowls.
It's time to have some fun.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Mike is listening in Boston. Mike, welcome to After Hours. Mike. Terry is in Sacramento. Terry, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Annie, always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And what are we going to do to save Clay Matthews from these hits that he's getting called on?
To save him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Not save him, but I'm just saying anybody that makes a hit like that and gets a foul called on him, they're going to have to do something about that. That's just playing the game.
Well, right now the NFL is doing something about it. The NFL is calling it, and they've actually used his hit from last weekend as part of a teaching video, believe it or not.
In the one this weekend?
Well, the NFL hasn't reviewed it yet. It's only been a couple hours.
Have you seen it?
Yes, of course. I saw it. Yes.
And
I tweeted about it at the time.
Oh, okay.
It's another textbook tackle, in my opinion, and it's unfortunate that the NFL is going so far overboard. And I really feel like if you think about the two things that happened, first, you know, the protection for QBs and that hit being called again, when you're talking about Hall of Fame QBs that are saying that is a textbook tackle. And then put that together with the other bookend of Jimmy Garoppolo getting hurt without any contact. I mean, it's
right.
Football. It's
right.
A violent sport. And guys can get hurt, and there's no way to protect your quarterbacks to make sure that does not happen. And that's kind of the idea, is it's going overboard. And I don't know how else they're supposed to tackle. Clay Matthews made a great point after the game. He said, when you're rushing toward a quarterback, and he did have he'd had some great access there, and you're coming at him from the front, well, of course you're going to land on him. He said he tried to pull his hands up. He tried to, you know, to shift his weight. But it looked like a perfect tackle, and I am now expecting the flags like he is, but I hate that because it feels to me like a major disadvantage for any defense, not just Clay Matthews.
It does. That's why I say for anybody that makes a hit like that and gets a call or something to that effect.
Well, so far the NFL's not backing down. I mean, it reminds me of the replacement refs when the NFL for 3 weeks a few years ago, was that 2012, decided to tell us that the replacement refs were just as good until there was the major crisis, of course, in the end zone. And then all of a sudden, well, we better get these regular refs back to work. So for now, the NFL is holding its ground, towing the line and saying, oh yeah, this is exactly how it's supposed to be. But at some point there's going to be a crisis and maybe they'll back off then.
They're going to have to. I just want to say then, go Tiger Woods. The man's incredible and he's got more in him.
Well, let's hope he can use it for Team USA in the Ryder Cup this weekend.
I'm sure he will.
I love it when people are sure. Here's what happens when you're sure. You know how you're sure that the Minnesota Vikings were going to beat the Buffalo Bills in Minneapolis on Sunday? You know how you're sure that this is going to happen in sports or that's going to happen in sports? Oh, yeah. Just be sure all you want. Because
and everything's coming up, Buffalo.
When you are sure, sports laugh in your face. All right, coming up next, let's get to that Buffalo win, shall we? Holy cannoli. Shockwaves around the NFL. In fact, we had five teams win their first games on this week. So going back to Thursday, on this Sunday as well as Thursday, five teams getting off the schneid and winning for the first time in 2018. We've also got an incredible Saints-Falcons game. Thank the Lord there wasn't another tie. I was ready to protest. Like, I was ready to stage a sit-in if there was going to be another tie in 3 weeks. So we'll get to that incredible NFC South finish, as well as the production of both the Saints and the Falcons and their QBs. And we've got some QB news. Goodness, four different teams in week three making quarterback changes. Four different teams being forced to use second QBs because of injuries or because of ineptitude.
Nerd alert!
How many have we had over the course of the season? 3 weeks. Man, the number will surprise you. A lot still to come. Plus your calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You like that? You like that?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and 11 from the 26. Allen going to throw it. Fire, got a man wide open at the 6, and he's caught into the end zone. Touchdown. It is Jason Kroom wide open. Touchdown, Buffalo. Here we go. Ivory the tailback. DeMarco the fullback. Fourth and goal, 1 foot away. Josh Allen trying to make himself heard. Waiting. Allen keeps it. Dives over the pile into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, second touchdown of the game!
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
Before the Vikings knew what hit them, before half of you were even in front of the televisions, before they got to the midway point, the Buffalo Bills were up 27-0 at Minnesota. What?
How do you like it now?
Well, back to the drawing board, I guess. My gosh, one of those things that you just don't see coming. If you're an NFL fan, I tell you all the time, expect the unexpected. But even if you expect the weird and the wacky because you know it's wonderful, you're still stunned when it happens.
Staging a stuffed animal massacre.
I don't know if this was stuffed animal massacre, but I bet there are a lot of Vikings who felt like they got massacred. I'm not big into point spreads, favorites, underdogs. One of my house rules here on After Hours is storylines, not betting lines. But just so you have a point of reference, why was this a Survivor Island nightmare? Well, because the Bills were 16.5-point dogs, 16.5-point underdogs in Minneapolis. It was the second start for Josh Allen, and he was fantastic in the first half. Okay, let's be honest here. It was a tale of two halves. But because the Vikings never got up off the mat, that 27-0 lead at half stood up. There was literally no scoring for the Bills in the second half, and they still won 27-6, their first win of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Weird and wacky, to be sure. What's the weirdest, wackiest thing you saw over the weekend in football? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So a couple of things that jumped out at me as I was watching the game. The Bills looked like they owned the trenches against the Vikings. It's crazy, right? Buffalo forced 3 turnovers, sacked Kirk Cousins 4 times, dominated time of possession. This was a ball control game. And one reason it was, not only because of what Josh Allen was able to do with the football, as I mentioned, he had 3 touchdowns, 2 of them on the ground, but because the entire team, even without LeSean McCoy, had 128 yards rushing. And so even without Shady, Chris Ivory, Marcus Murphy, Josh Allen, they were all able to use their legs to pick up first downs, to extend the drives. Just like I talked about with the Detroit Lions, it may not be your go-to. It may not be your best offensive option. And certainly without Shady McCoy, the Bills look different. But Chris Ivory is a bruising rusher. Allen can make plays with his feet. As long as you have the threat of a run, you can generally keep the defenses honest. And so those 128 yards rushing, being able to create holes along the offensive line, the fact that they could keep the ball away from the Vikings, all of that huge in this first victory for Buffalo.
It just solidifies the trust that I have in my teammates, just trusting what's called, just trying to execute, you know. Without Shady in the backfield today, you know, Chris and Murph, they ran really hard, you know, and to execute plays like that, and our front five did a great job of that.
Seriously, though, how weird is this? The Bills, 27 points in the first half, don't score again the rest of the game, and still win in Minneapolis. What? Come on. Are you serious?
Touchdown, Buffalo!
Kirk Cousins, 40 of 55. Now, obviously, the Vikings weren't running the ball a whole lot once they got down big time. So that's part of the reason for the disparity. He threw 55 passes. I wonder if he's having to ice the old arm. Oh my gosh, speaking of that, wait until I tell you my mom and I did for the first time in decades over the weekend. Yes, in fact, she does have to ice her arm. Anyway, congratulations to the Buffalo Bills. John Murphy with the calls on the Bills radio network. I love these kind of stories. Vontae Davis literally quit at halftime on the Bills last weekend. And in six quarters now, they're kicking some A-double curvy roads. I'm not saying that it's the retirement of Vontae Davis, only that sometimes the locker room can get galvanized over the strangest things. And this was a Survivor Island nightmare. Out of 1,500 of you, of us, who started the season on Survivor Island, only 256 remain. And we're not even through week three. Oh my gosh.
Survivor Island.
Another 138 football prognosticators fed to the sharks in week three. Ruh-roh. I mean, I've already been reduced to chum from week one. People are still asking me, how are you doing on Survivor Island? Oh, you know, I lost first round of games week one.
Oh, no!
In fact, all of us did. All three of us here at CBS Sports Radio. We all did. All right, so find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, the weird, the wacky, the wonderful from week three. And I am really fascinated by this poll we've got going. We're asking you about the coolest and biggest drought buster of the weekend in sports. And I know that the numbers on Twitter say one thing, but the votes on Facebook say something different. So you can check it out either on Twitter or on Facebook. And coming up, we'll dive into that Saints-Falcons overtime affair in Atlanta, home of Super Bowl 53 on CBS. I was about to protest. That was it. I was going to go on a hunger strike. It wouldn't last long. But I was going to go on a hunger strike if the Falcons and Saints played into a tie.
End it or extend it?
I was rooting like nobody's business for the Saints to score on that first possession because I did not want to have to pansy-ass my way around another tie. No,
I don't like them in a tie.
Ties stink, and professional athletes should not be playing to ties, not even in soccer. And I do and love soccer, the other football. No ties in football ever. Nada.
All right. Honestly?
So find me on our social media or on the phones. I love talking football. And we're going to get to Tiger Woods. And we're going to get to a couple of fun stories I have for you. Actually, one fun story and one just odd story. Just, you know, I always come back from a little break with stories. So, of course, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and goal from the five. Newton, a black wrist guard on his right wrist. He stretches his right hand out, motions McCaffrey to check it. Man hurts to go in motion. Skinny post, end zone, left side, caught, Bunches, touchdown.
Very big, and for our confidence moving forward, that was a good team that we played today. We understand that. And, you know, they're coming in extremely confident, 2-0, and we just wanted to, you know, play Carolina Panther football, be very stingy on defense, opportunistic on offense, and that's where we got us.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Cam Newton, just one of the red hot, I mean on fire quarterbacks in the NFC South. And we'll have Ryan Fitzpatrick back on the field at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up on Monday Night Football. But you hear Mick Mixon on the Carolina Panthers radio network, one of Cam's four touchdowns on Sunday in a victory against Cincinnati. Four more scores for him, two through the air, two on the ground, and he talks about the process of building confidence early in the regular season. And it's definitely a process. I tell you all the time, this applies to every team out there, including the New England Patriots, maybe the Minnesota Vikings, whatever team took a hit this weekend. Remember, no team starts out the season ready to win a championship. It is a process. It's a long and winding road. And if it's not full of some adversity in stretches, well, then you're not battle tested. Definitely Cam Newton as an individual is battle tested. He's been through a lot in his time in the NFL, both the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. And in that NFC South, you better be ready for adversity. You better be ready with some toughness, with some wisdom, with some experience, with some leadership. Right now, the four QBs, man, they're putting up numbers like you almost wouldn't believe for one division. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. I just got my new car insurance bill, so I will be giving Geico some of my money, though not as much money as I would if I was insuring my car, Princess Leia, with another company. Just as a total side note, 855-212-4227. Let's stick in the NFC South here for a minute.
Looks like you managed to cut off our only escape route.
There was no escaping from the, I want to call it the Georgia Dome. There was no escaping from the home of the Atlanta Falcons. Saints and Falcons playing to the death. It was a shootout at the OK Corral. Man alive, think about the cool storylines from the Atlanta area over the weekend. Sports fans have a lot to be happy about, even though the Falcons lost in overtime against the Saints. So I know that's a big blow. But Tiger Woods wins his first PGA Tour event in Eastlake. That was 5 years in the making. You had the Braves clinching their first NL East title since 2013. So they're in the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. A little bit of synergy there between Tiger and the Braves. Georgia, as the number two team in college football, took care of its business from Athens. Not quite Atlanta, but you get it. And then the Falcons hosting the Saints in a shootout. Telling you, this division is tough. So Calvin Ridley, the last two games, phenomenal. Man, I love to watch him fly. The rookie, 7 catches, 146 yards, 3 touchdowns. Woo! And Julio, no slouch. While he didn't catch a score, he also had nearly 100 yards on 5 catches. So it was Ridley early and then a bunch of Julio Jones later. So that's just two of the receivers. Then Matt Ryan, 374 yards and 5 passing touchdowns. He would be one of our Monday MVP candidates if not for the fact that on the very same field, Drew Brees was 39 of 49 for 396 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air, 2 touchdowns on the ground. Just think about those numbers.
Oh, Amy.
Kevin Harlan, I'm trying to process here. This is incredible. The New Orleans Saints on the road. Now, remember, they lost their opener at home, and then they nearly lost to the Browns in week 2 at home. But on the road at Atlanta, week 3, they score touchdowns on their last 4 drives of the second half and overtime. See what I mean about shootout? And I'm telling you what, I would have taken anything but a tie. I mean, absolutely anything but a third tie in 3 weeks in the NFL.
Brees will come out under center. Jonathan Williams, the tailback. He fakes the handoff. Wide open, Zach Line. He's going to reach across the goal line. Zach Line, the fullback, with the touchdown for the Saints. And the Saints tie the Atlanta Falcons with the extra point remaining, 29-29, just inside 10 minutes remaining here in Atlanta.
Yeah. So it was tied, and into overtime we went. Zach Streif with the call on the New Orleans Saints radio network. I saw some people tweeting about how, oh, goody, it's going to come down to a coin flip. But I don't know how anybody can say that, considering that we already had two ties this year in the NFL. However, this one actually went the way of the coin flip. But it was still really impressive the way the Saints kept the ball. All right, so they have the coin flip go in their favor to start overtime, and they never give the ball back to the Atlanta Falcons. Smart move, right? They had to extend that drive, 15 plays, 80 yards. Why? Not only would they end the game with a touchdown, but because think about what the Falcons had done on offense. And so that to me was, I think, as impressive as the fact that these two teams went toe-to-toe is that the Saints made sure that they were going to be the last team to touch the ball in overtime, as well as the first team to touch the ball in overtime.
Drew Brees lines up in the I formation. He's going over the top, and that's going to be it.
Ball
touchdown.
Game.
That one's over, and the New Orleans Saints defeat the Atlanta Falcons here in Atlanta, 43-37. What a game, Deuce. What a game by this offense.
Offensive line really played well. I thought we won the rushing battle, time of possession. We won a lot of the things that generally go to the winning team. Guys all made big plays when we needed them. Mike Thomas, Kamara, Cam Meredith had his first touchdown today.
Oh, yes. I was listening intently, Sean Payton. So they had, as he said, a lot of the individual wins, positional battles. He mentions Mike Thomas, who right now is on fire as well. But, I mean, the numbers from this game offensively, insane. As much as it stings that the Falcons lost for their fan base and inside their locker room, they were perfect in the red zone for a second straight week. They're now 8-for-8 in the red zone in the last 2 weeks. Nerd alert! So all the talk about firing Steve Sarkisian, you know the whole hashtag fire Sark? I haven't seen that anywhere. This was not the fault of the offense.
Right on, baby.
Nope, it was the fact that the defense could not slow down or stymie the New Orleans Saints in the second half or in overtime. Four consecutive touchdown drives, not even forcing them to a field goal. Four consecutive touchdown drives in the second half and OT. 534 yards of offense for the Saints. And actually, the Falcons put up great numbers. They also allowed great numbers. So there is a problema. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The NFC South is a doozy. Just quarterbacks alone, but the playmakers in that division. So will the Tampa Bay Buccaneers maintain their lead atop the South? We shall find out on Monday Night Football. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up after the top of the hour, we will get into the QB news. As you know, I keep track. Well, some of you may know. I wouldn't expect all of you to know this. But this is the third year in which I've kept track week by week of the number of teams that use multiple quarterbacks because of either injuries or ineptitude, meaning their coaches benched one QB for another. The first week of the season, Packers and Titans both had to use multiple QBs because of injuries. Second week of the season, the Buffalo Bills made a change at quarterback because it was awful. The offense was awful with Nathan Peterman. Now, I know that Josh Allen played in the season opener, but I do not count games in which a quarterback comes in to replace the starter because we're talking about garbage time. Either don't want to get the starter hurt, or you want to get the reps for the backup. So the Bills actually made a QB change in week two and benched Nathan Peterman. Now think about week three, and we'll get to this after the top of the hour. The Browns, the Eagles, the Niners, and the Cardinals all make quarterback changes. And so here we are, not even through 3 weeks of the regular season, and already 7 of the 32 NFL teams have used multiple quarterbacks.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
That doesn't include the Ravens, who've used Lamar Jackson in spot situations, nor does it include the Colts, who had Jacoby Brissett attempt to throw a Hail Mary at the end of the game against the Eagles. So these are only teams that have made quarterback changes because of either injuries or ineptitude. We're already talking about 7 of 32 teams. That's more than a quarter of them already. And we're not even through the first month of the regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook as well as on Twitter. A-Law Radio is where you can find me, but our polls are always up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you missed the pictures of my ma, I don't call her that, ma. I call her mom or moo. I don't know why we call her moo, but we sometimes when I'm writing her a text and I say, hi, moo, the cow emoji pops up and she loves cows. In fact, this is what my mother has decided. She wants a pet cow. I kid you not. I heard it multiple times over the weekend. My mom wants a pet cow. Not a cow to eat or even for the milk. Nope. She wants a pet cow. Oh, yeah. Well, not a whole herd, just one. Well, then she thought maybe she would get two because they might get lonely. If it was just one, she was worried that the cow would get lonely. This is my mother's new thing. Also, Isaac, I told her that you would like to do a version of Ask Amy's Mom Anything, and she was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, oh, no, Mike. I said, Mike can help you. That's her husband. And Isaac would be happy to give you the questions ahead of time. I said, the point is they want you to tell embarrassing stories about me. They don't want you to tell embarrassing stories about you. And my mom said, oh, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Now, she didn't agree to it yet, but she did say, okay, that's different.
We're getting there.
Yeah, so I'll have to work on her. But you'll definitely need to ask her about her pet cow dream, because that's the thing now. She wants a cow.
I love fresh milk.
I told her only if I could have a pet horse to go along with. And one of the things that we did over my visit was that we went to see a fellow teacher at her school who has 3 horses. Henry is 20. He's a paint. He's a brown and white paint, and he is grouchy. He's a grouchy old man. He's so funny. We got to feed him carrots, but that was really the only time his ears weren't pinned back. So you had to be careful that he wouldn't try to bite you just because he's grouchy. But that was so much fun. I loved visiting the horses. And Holly and Hallie are the two other horses that my mom's colleague has. So she let us hang out and feed them. These horses eat pop ice, which was kind of interesting. And after the green pop ice, their lips were green. My mom and I also did something together that we haven't done in decades. We played catch, as in catch, with a ball and a glove.
Hope you took it easy. You got a rocket.
So my mom still has a cannon for an arm. Into her 70s, she can still throw, but she also had to ice her shoulder because after 2 days of playing catch, she's like, I can't lift my arm above my head. I love my mom. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.